I remarked to the 12 o'clock crowd that this weekend officially marks my third anniversary here at St. John's. Three years ago on Sunday, this Sunday, you all heard me and met me for the first time. I'm curious if anyone was at any of my very first weekend here. Were any of you at any of those masses? Okay, keep your hands raised if you remember what I preached on that Sunday. That's good, because I'm going to preach the same thing. I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna do that. Oftentimes, I don't even really remember what I preach about. So if you don't remember, well, I'm not going to hold it against you. I remarked to the 12 o'clock crowd as well, it's a lot like food. You know, we have no idea. What did you eat 5 years ago on Tuesday? I don't know. But I know that I ate, because I'm still alive, so I suppose our spiritual food is the same. We don't always remember exactly what happened 5 years ago on Tuesday, but we perhaps do know that whatever it was, we received something from the Lord, and so God keeps us sustained. So thanks be to God for that. So today's scriptures, I think, seem to be quite straightforward for us. We all have a bit of an experience of this, what the Lord is talking about. We have these kind of experiences even from the time that we're kids. Usually this happens to you in the midst of your siblings or in the midst of your friend group. And inevitably, there's a circumstance or a situation or some sort of necessity that is before all that needs to be accomplished, and it just so happens that nobody wants to do it. And so the question is, well, what then? Now, the most savvy person of the group will, in the midst of this discussion, just kind of do this, and they'll continue to talk. And if people around are also savvy, they'll understand what is exactly going on. I don't know if any of you know this move that I'm doing right now. If you don't, I'll explain it to you. So you see, this is a game. Now, the game has already begun, but you only know it's begun if you're paying attention. And so the job of everyone in the group, once they figure out that the game is going on, is to also touch their nose, right? And of course, the last person to touch their nose to realize what's going on, well, they're the one that has to do the thing, because nose goes. That's the name of the game, nose goes. So I see that some of you have played this game as children. Some of you clearly never learned that game. Because half of you didn't put your finger to your nose. However, it was the group fair way of play to do the job that nobody wanted to do, right? Whether that was taking out the trash or loading the dishwasher or mowing the lawn or whatever it was, this, that, or the other thing. And of course, inevitably, the last person to understand the game, and they would complain and they're like, you can't do that, come on, man. And they're like, no, man, fair is fair. Nose goes, man. It's you. It's you this time. Sorry, bud. And that's how it was, right? That's how life is, right? All of the tasks, sometimes the things that need to be done, nobody quite wants to do them. And so we're all just like, not me, man. You do it. You do it. Now, in my house, we didn't always play, or my group of friends, we didn't always play nose goes, but we did this. We just knelt down on one knee. And so the last person to kneel down on one knee, that was the person who went. Jesus plays the nose goes game, so to speak, in today's gospel. Because what he wants to do is present our hearts to us in regards to our Christian discipleship and like what that looks like and how that discipleship, how that faith actually passes through the human heart. Because here's what he says. Jesus says, I tell you, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. And he says, so ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Jesus gives a command. Ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for the harvest. And we listen to something like that and we're like, oh, that sounds nice. And that's about where we leave it. Because if we're all kind of honest, we don't actually really all together want to pray that prayer that the Lord would send out laborers to the harvest. And the reason that we don't want to do that, if we're all kind of honest, is because the very next line that Jesus says, The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. I mean, am I not right? Do we not live in a world that certainly bespeaks to us the same reality? And in our own hearts, we kind of know this even from the time that we're children. Because if we're serious about a prayer like, God, your will be done. Lord, your plan, let it be done. Lord, send out your workers into the vineyard so that the kingdom of God can come. And God says, I'll answer that prayer. Go on your way. And we're like, no, man. We're like, no. You go, not me. You see, there's a struggle inside the human heart about discipleship. And the struggle is about how it is that we are called to live the faith and how it is that we're called to participate in the bringing about of God's kingdom. There's this great kind of paradox that is in us. Two things, I think, that are present. And one of these is this sort of innate fear that causes us to put our finger to our nose and say, no, that's not exactly what I want to accomplish. But Lord, if you send somebody out, it's going to be all good. I mean, even children do this. Think about this, right? As toddlers, even before we know have a memory that we can use, what do toddlers do? Whatever it is they want to do until they're asked, and then they don't want to do it anymore. Right? Little babies that know how to walk, they love to walk until mom and dad have friends over, and they say, now walk, come and walk, Susie. And what do? They sit on the ground because they're not going to do it. They'll do it, not in public. Or, you know, mom holds little Benny in her arm and Uncle Mike comes over and says, hey, hi, say hi to Uncle Mike. And what does Benny do? He doesn't say hi to Uncle Mike. He turns his head around and puts his head right on mom's shoulder because he's interested in being loved on and being communicative until he's kind of asked to dance for the public a little bit. And all of a sudden we're like, not me. Don't ask me to do it. I'll certainly do it on my own time, but I better not be asked, right? Because there is a certain risk, very real, that costs from us. But here's the other side of that paradox, because the other side of that paradox is when we witness someone else doing that, right? Being sent forth, responding to that call, that person's witness is extraordinarily attractive to us. And we look at that and we say, I want to do that. We say of that person, that's amazing. It's stunning. Is it any wonder that people would simply burst out in tears when they were walking into the presence of Mother Teresa or John Paul II? Because their lives had power, did they not? Their lives had great power. And when people witnessed that power, it was like people melted before it. Not only in admiration, but in great desire. Like, oh man, if I just wish I was that brave. I wish I could do that. I can't do that. And so we're left, right, in this struggle of the human heart, which has both desires that battle within it. Jesus, in his clear invitation, says to those who have the courage to say yes, here's what's going to happen. If in your life of discipleship you are not merely a spectator, you don't merely participate, but that you go forth as my servant to do as I have done, what will happen is you will live a supernatural life. You will do supernatural things because it's in fact the command of Jesus. Jesus says, whatever town you enter into and they welcome you, cure the sick. Cure the sick in it. And say, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. And those who went returned rejoicing. And they said, Lord, even the demons, right? Even the full force of evil is no match against us. That's not natural. It's not. Jesus gives superhuman power to anybody who is willing to risk receiving that power. And it's not power simply for someone who dresses in vestments on a Sunday. It's actually the call for every Christian. I'm curious, and I'm not going to ask you to ask your hand or raise your hands, but I'm curious, have you ever directly prayed and commanded healing in someone's body? Have you ever cured someone by your prayers? Because that's supposed to be normative in the Christian life, not just for people whose name is Padre Pio. That's for Tom, that's for Susie, that's for Mike, that's for Jackie, that's for Father Brian, that's for everybody of us, if we're willing. Because the harvest is abundant and the laborers are few, and Jesus says, I say, go on your way. You shall take nothing with you that the world says you need. No sandals, no sack, no money, no walking stick, no second tunic. You'll depend upon me because you'll have to. And it's risky. And it's public. And for that reason, not a lot of people out there very excited about doing that. I mean, it's obvious, right? It's obvious. You look out into the world, and it's not exactly a popular thing in the world to live the kind of Christianity that Jesus invites us to live. Because if it seemed to be attractive, and it seemed to be full of joy, and seemed to be something that was really worth my while, and something that was going to give me lots of gain, like everybody would be doing it. I mean, if Christianity seemed on the surface to be super awesome and attractive, everybody would be going after it. Now, they wouldn't be going after money. They wouldn't be going after fame or power or influence, pleasure, any of these things. They'd be going after the kingdom of God if it seemed to be the best option, but it doesn't seem to be the best option, which is why people don't choose it. Because when people look at Christianity, what they see is what St. Paul says. Stuff that doesn't exactly sound appetizing, does it? May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. May no man bother me, for I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. I will boast in my weakness alone, that the power of Christ may reign in me. You know, all of these things that are like, ooh. Not me. That doesn't sound very attractive. But for those who are brave, all you have to give is what you have. All you have to do is provide the nature. God provides the supernature. This is great. This is why it's such a great image, right? The prophecy of Isaiah. What does a mother give to her child? The only thing she's got on her at the moment, right? And that's enough that her child can be nourished and grow. She doesn't actually have to bring to the table anything that she doesn't already have. God provides the natural, and God provides even well above that, right, in Jesus. So we ought, if we're scared, thank you for your honesty. If Christianity doesn't always look appealing, or if it sometimes looks risky or not worth it, thanks for your honesty. Jesus says to the disciples on their return, why is it that you rejoice? Is it that in the end we rejoice that the demons are subject to us? Do we rejoice that we've announced the kingdom of God and people have heard? Do we rejoice because we've been able to cure the sick? Jesus says, no, what causes us to rejoice is that we know that our names are in heaven. And that is worth far more than any conceivable obstacle that might arise in our lives. We're like, man, God has put my name on his heart, which means that my journey from here to there looks a whole lot different to me now. And what caused me to be afraid to respond to Christian discipleship in an active way in my life doesn't look like such a mountain as it used to look. Because guess what, man? God's all powerful. And God says, I command you, go forth and live a life that's supernatural, even in signs and wonders. That's what the world needs to see. And I pray that if you've never prayed for someone's healing directly, I think it's a great risk to take at some point in your life. I've been very, very privileged to do it on many occasions, and I've seen people healed on the spot. It's incredible. Even of things like cancer, And it's not because I have the power to heal anybody. It's because Jesus says, are you just available to have faith and say the words and let me do what I do? And I'm like, all right, Lord, all right. And then when we see the gift that God gives to the world, we're like, oh, it is worth it. It's so beautiful to see people freed, to see the kingdom of God with our own eyes. Listen, why not you?